interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day, Wednesday, 2nd of October edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, raring and ready to go on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D., for the next 2 hours, our privilege to bring you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And as we enter the turnstiles between 4 and 6 today, Leonard Fournette exits the purple and gold turnstiles in Baton Rouge. I want to lead off discussing LSU's backs. Who can help complement Joe Burrow, Joe Brady, Steve Ensminger, and this potent passing attack on the ground as LSU really gets into the teeth of SEC play? You want to jump in on the conversation? Hit us early, hit us often. 706-0111. The news earlier today, you probably have heard plenty about it on the station today. It's on our website, 1037thegame.com as well. Ed Ashoff of the Mothership first reporting Leonard Fournette's younger brother, Leonard, will be leaving the program. Is he destined for another in-state school where he might actually be able to play right away? Is it possible he's actually kind of just done with football after being lapped on the depth chart? I've been told that's at least remotely possible as well. But what we do know is this. The running back room for a national title contender just got more shallow. And one of their top three didn't leave. That's the good news. But again, those who are left will have to step up. And I think this will force into the spotlight to step toward the forefront a couple of true freshmen and maybe, just maybe, a redshirt freshman. We understand that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is as close to a bell cow as this team has in the LSU backfield. We also know that he's not his predecessor or predecessors. He's not Darrell Williams, who scored twice this past weekend for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not Darius Geis, Leonard Fournette. And I could go on and on with the guys who have toted the rock for LSU recently. But I think he's proving to be a little more slippery between the tackles than anticipated. You know what he can do in terms of pass blocking, pass receiving. He is a very good back for this new spread system that Ensminger and Brady are devising with Burrow as the centerpiece. Edwards-Helaire is able to eat more of that RB pie than I ever expected in August and in the preseason. Goes to show that I should never doubt a fellow Catholic of Baton Rouge Bear. And then I just got every STM fan to tune out for a little bit. All right, we're back now, and we're talking LSU. Who's next, though? That's what's most important. And the Fournette 2.0 conversation leads us back to that. Ty Davis Price, John Emery Jr. Depending on who we've asked on this program, we have gotten wildly different answers. Hunt Palmer has come aboard and said, to him, it looks like Ty Davis Price is that next guy up. Well, then in the Vandy game, John Emery Jr. got a little more of the run. Gordy Rush reminded last Thursday during the bye week that it's Emery that authored, the vast majority of LSU's breathtaking plays from fall camp outside of the Ponderosa. And I made reference to the redshirt freshman. Are we ready to bury baby beast mode on the depth chart? Chris Curry, coming out of the state of Florida, did not have 2 years ago any, or at least not anywhere near, the credentials that Ty Davis Price from Baton Rouge, John Emery Jr. from Destrehan had this last year on the recruiting trail. Those were top six backs in the country. Curry wasn't esteemed that way, but he has drawn comparisons from the time he was in high school up until, modern times, as playing in the same likeness as Marshawn Lynch, hence the nickname Baby Beast Mode. Does LSU require that type of physicality in life after regular fullback play? now that they're going with more of a spread style. Maybe, maybe not. I think the bad news for Curry is that Ty Davis-Price maybe combines some of that physicality, that run between the tackles, can play me on any of the three downs type of, you know, just brute force play. I think he combines that with a little more wiggle as well. And so I wonder if Curry's going to see the light of day if injury doesn't creep up in LSU's final eight contest. It's time for the two true freshmen, however, to step up and show what they can do. And so Leonard Fournette exiting the program, it was announced by a national sports writer, confirmed locally multiple times since. I don't think that in any way, shape, or form is going to cripple this team's chances. I think we all recognize that without any of us throwing pre-shade at the young man from New Orleans. But what it does do is give an even bigger opportunity to a couple of true freshmen. And I'm hoping that this Saturday, an 11 a.m. kick against Utah State, I'm optimistic that this provides the first platform for one of them maybe to take a step ahead of the other. Because you know as well as I do that as soon as that happens, the other will respond. And competition is going to breed greatness in this running back by committee. And it's going to have to be that. I don't think LSU can go strictly Edwards-Elair down the stretch of this eight-game season and come out unscathed. Not just because it's the SEC and injuries, they're inevitable, but also because you need two backs. It'd be nice if you had three in the modern era. And I actually believe that Emory is a better complement to Edwards-Elair because of what he does, I mean, in open space and just how electric he is. But it's hard to ignore the all-around talents of Ty Davis-Price. So your big storyline of the day and just kind of how I spin it forward. Clint, I promised you I would get to this next storyline. We're going to transition in our own way to the Houston Astros. We still don't know their ALDS opponent. We'll know that answer in about 7 hours. And if that game's anywhere near as exciting as Brew Crew versus Nats was, you're going to be sweating out late into the evening, Astros fans, to see if it's the A's or Rays that are coming to Minute Maid next. But this story, it really transpired yesterday. It kind of hit the wires earlier this morning. I wanted to get to it immediately. It's just so wildly entertaining. And it's a hump day. We're going to have Cousin Dino to talk spread heads and gambling in about 20 minutes, so we'll just call it a natural segue. Jim Mattress Mac Mackingvale. You listen to Astros Baseball on our station, you know who the hell this man is. He's the owner of a very prominent furniture store in Houston. Mattress Mac yesterday placed one of the largest bets ever taken by a U.S. bookmaker in Mississippi. Once again, thanks, Louisiana. This dude probably literally trucked it from Texas to Mississippi to place a bet. Surely that wouldn't have been something that Lake Charles and New Orleans would have been interested in. Surely not. Nonetheless, $3.5 million Mattress Mac put on the line. That bet is for the Astros to win the World Series. Currently, the odds actually pretty good there for a team that looks as loaded as Houston is, plus 220. And so let's do the math together. Mattress Mac would net a $7.7 million haul. Clint, I said people who listen to Astros Baseball on 103.7 The Game would know who Mattress Mac is. What exactly would they be listening for?
If the Astros win it all in 2019, you get your mattress for free, free, free. Stop by today.
That's well done, amigo. Mattress Mac, he did it 2 years ago when the Stros won a World Series. Now that they're trying to take it back, he's doubling down. Stros win a World Series, your mattress is free. Except Uncle Jim, a.k.a. Mattress Mac, he needs 7.7 mil, I should say, from the state of Mississippi to make good on all those mattresses that he's going to give you. That is one of the all-time bet hedges. Big-time shout-out to begin the program to Mattress Mac. All right, we're going to come right back in. Your sink or swim question of the day, it's Raging Cajun themed. We'll get to that. Cousin Dino coming aboard at 4:30. Luke Johnson, he's got a new gig. Yeah, again, he's that talented. He's still covering the Saints. He'll be with us at 5:05. So don't go anywhere. Plenty more Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you can listen to us for free, free, free on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, and B2BS will roll until 6 on a hump day. Five Guys Stories and Lies with Don Allen will take the baton and roll until 8. CD, before we dive in, our sink or swim question of the day, within the last hour, A.J. Hinch, speaking of those Astros, God bless Mattress Mac, but we'll move on from that storyline. A.J. Hinch has announced his games 1 through 3 starters. No surprises. It'll be Verlander Friday afternoon, Garrett Cole Saturday evening, and then game 3, Zach Greinke. No game 4 starter is mentioned, but let's be clear about one thing. No game 4 is even necessary. It's a best of 5 series, whether it's the A's or the Rays. Pitt against Houston in the ALDS, I don't think that's necessarily a huge vote of confidence against Wade Miley. I don't think it means anything here, there, or anywhere about Jose Urquidy, or whether they'd even entertain going back to Verlander. So that starting pitching rotation bit of information is still a mystery. But again, I think it's in stone, and it has been for a while in everybody's minds. Verlander, Cole, Greinke, 1-2-3.
No surprise there. It feels like everything is going the way you'd expect it to. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if it winds up being a sweep when you just look at the way the Astros have
been. You don't even know the opponent yet.
I think regardless, you know your opponent a lot more than you think. I mean, you've played the Rays a handful of times this
year. That's fair.
And the A's are an AL West foe, so you know what's going on with them. And you know Charlie Morton, odds are, could probably be a Game 3 or Game 4 guy.
By the way, never a doubt last night for my team that I picked in the NL wild card, right? They had it all along, the Nats.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. And we'll get to that later in the hour. Don't forget, Cousin Dino going to step in and join us for Spreadheads, picking the games that you care about in college football and the NFL in about 10 or 11 minutes. But every day in the 4 o'clock hour, we ask you a question that causes you to think. Some more than others. We'll see where today's question lands.
Exciting and new.
1 week from tonight, 7 p.m., the Cajuns will play host to App State. A lot of people nationally, pundits, starting to say winner of this one may well vault into the top 25. Cajuns haven't been in the top 25. Clint, I saw this earlier from Ross Dellinger, and it's really pretty remarkable. I believe, it's not in front of me right now, but I believe it was 1943. Let's see. Delhi just had it up. Yep. SMU football is back in the AP poll for the first time since 86. That means the longest AP poll drought, the Cajuns, 1943. With the win over App State, they could legitimately get there. And today's question has its roots in what you think the fan support is going to look like at Cajun Field. So let's get right to it, and let's pull no punches. I want some honest takes here. What type of attendance are you expecting for the Cajuns App State game a week from tonight? Clint, lead us off.
For me, Ben, I want to be the king of wishful thinking and go 22,000, but I feel like they'll fall just short of 20,000 based off of how things have been for the Cajuns in terms of attendance at Cajun Field. I think this winds up not being a great look for the program on a Wednesday night primetime television on primetime national television.
But it won't be as bad as the last time the Cajuns played App State. If memory serves, it was a midweek game. I believe it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. It was not a Thursday night.
I believe
night
it
game.
Was a Wednesday night
Wednesday
game.
Night as well? Okay. Yeah, that's right. Tuesday is for Maction, right?
And, no.
And occasionally? Sun Belt Wednesdays?
Occasionally it'll be on a Tuesday, but for the most part it's on Wednesdays. I know this year I think there is one Thursday night game, and we'll be blessed with Pat McAfee on those games.
There you have it. All right, so we know that capacity is roughly 36,000. And you're saying slightly less than 20? That's your official answer?
That's my final answer.
If this game were being played on a weekend, I still probably would only give it 24 to 25,000.
Especially considering this weekend, that weekend is going to be Festival of Cotton. I think that definitely takes into attendance.
I get that part. I get that. Here's the problem. The best attended Raging Cajuns football games that I've seen since I moved to town, McNeese State,
yep,
Grambling.
Exactly.
What do you have in common there? Rabid fan bases that aren't that far away, and they're looking forward to punching up at the Raging Cajuns.
Yep.
App State certainly wouldn't be punching up at UL, but more importantly is the vast divide between Lafayette, Louisiana, and Boone, North Carolina on a weekend. What's my point? You can't factor in 6,000 to 8,000 people coming from the other side. And so those huge crowds last year to kick off the Billy Napier era against Grambling, which, by the way, brought a fantastic crowd. A couple years back, McNeese State, ditto. You're not going to get that. And so literally what you see is going to be just local fans for the most part. What you see will be what you get from Lafayette and Acadiana, by and large, in the middle of the week. I don't think the attendance is going to be commensurate with what this team will deserve. I also don't think that expecting anything different for the midweek is wise. So I'm not employed by UL or the Raging Cajuns Athletic Department. I can tell you what I really believe as well. And, Clint, my number is between 16,000 and 17,000. Okay. I think that they are going to fall just short of half full in the stadium. I don't know that it's going to be, per se, a bad look on national television. I know that's the phrase you used.
Yeah.
It'll be more robust than that group that played App State and got shut out at home a couple of years ago. It'll look better than a number of other Cajuns games I've seen. It'll probably look a lot better litmus test-wise, right? Eye test-wise than what was transpiring in the Superdome.
Yeah.
A month and some change ago. I mean, you and I were both there for that. I sat outside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and did a wee bit of tailgating for a couple of hours prior to that game.
Yep.
I swear what walked in front of me was at least 2-1 Mississippi State fans. And once I got inside the Superdome, my feelings on that didn't really change.
Exactly. And I think the biggest reason why was because there was one part of the stadium where it was reserved for family of Cajun players. I think it was damn near empty the first like five or six rows down. That was definitely the worst part about it. But I'm saying more when it comes to a bad look, more so on the other side of Cajun Field, because I know that other side has been packed.
The student side. Ah, okay, yes. Now we're really getting somewhere. And I'll give you my opinion. I'd like yours as well. We got some time here. 706-0111. We're both in the same ballpark with our answer here. 16 to 19,000. Is what you and I think is realistic. I hope it's more.
Same here.
As somebody who has had season tickets now for 3 years, I enjoy going to the games, and I will be there. Trying to hook it up to where we do a live show from somewhere close by. Knock, knock. Local vendors close to Cajun Field. But here's my problem with the student section. I think they're being enticed this year more than in years past.
Yep.
Would you agree there?
I'd wholeheartedly agree. The fact that it's closer now.
They've moved the actual tailgate. They've moved the actual student section closer to where they want to be, where they used to be. They are being incentivized in some ways with some of these, you know, points,
giveaways,
accruement systems, whatever.
Almost like a rewards club type
thing. Exactly right. And so it's better this year than it's been in years past. But let's just level with one another. Can't you just give everyone who shows up a couple of slices of pizza, a free T-shirt if they're old enough, a damn beer? I mean, you're giving it away for everybody else for $2. Just get them there any way that you can. I mean, seriously. No classes on Thursday. All right, you probably can't get away with that part as an institution of higher learning. But short of that.
Well, I think it's fall break, actually.
Okay.
There we go.
There you go. And that actually is not good news. Because that used to be an issue LSU would have when they play Arkansas occasionally for Thanksgiving weekend.
But I think it's just Thursday and Friday, so.
So there's no school the next
day. Exactly.
But will some students leave to go back home and spend their time with family, girlfriends that are out of city and state? Who knows? We were all at that age at one point. We get it. But, man, for the ones that are going to be around, why wouldn't you do everything humanly possible? And I'm not casting aspersions, right, at the promotions, marketing department. That's not my point here. But there's no reason to have any less than 3, 4, 5, 6,000 students in there. Just get them in the place. Give them what they want, but have them loud. To your point, it's going to help the way the thing looks on TV. But more than that, and boy, here's a novel concept. It might just motivate the team a little.
Exactly. That's going to be the biggest thing. This team needs that crowd in there and loud throughout, because this is undoubtedly the second biggest game for the Cajuns all year long at Cajun Field. obviously, I'd probably say the other one is the ULM game wrap of the season.
Oh, no, this is bigger because of the stakes right now. Now, preseason, we couldn't have necessarily known this for sure. Dan McDonald said yesterday, and by the way, he and I were in lockstep, but separately, we both thought the Cages would be 2-3 at this point. Okay, well, they're 4-1, and I just told you a lot of people believe the winner of this one might jump into the top 25. Just give the students free tickets. Give them free shirts. Give them, I mean, everything short of, I mean, 3 free beers and a cowbell, because that's probably illegal. But, man, get them in there, because you're right, that side of the stadium, boy, I got a lot of questions about that. All right, we'll be right back in. Cousin Dino coming with us. It's time for Spreadheads. We're going to take a timeout. We'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
What in the hell is Spreadheads? Oh, a segment for degenerate gamblers. All right, well, then it is time for Spreadheads with Cousin Dino.
Welcome back in. Dino and I, mired in mediocrity overall, but he was hot as a pistol a week ago. Dino, welcome back, my friend. You went 7-3, including a 4-1 run through the NFL. You are now 16-14. Yours truly, I went 4-6 last week. I'm 15-15. So welcome back to first place.
I appreciate it. It's like it's baseball season, playoff season, so I'm just like the hot pitcher. Just hand me the ball, and I feel like I can kind of give you that run.
Let's see what you got in store tonight. We'll begin on the college side. Number 18, UCF. Dino, 4.5-point favorites on the road at Cincinnati. It's an AAC game. Which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to roll with Luke Fickell and the Cincinnati Bearcats. I know UCF has been everybody's darling outside of the Power Five, but they're going to have to head to Nippert Stadium. Nippert Stadium's old, but they can get fiery. I got some family up there. They got a freshman quarterback that's going up there. I don't know if he knows what he's about to step into. The Bearcats, on the other hand, are 3-1, and their only loss was to Ohio State, which is probably the best team in the country right now. They're coming off 2 straight wins. I like their quarterback. And you know Luke Fickell and the Cincinnati defense is going to show up. That Bearcat defense does show up. So I think UCF is going to win this game, but I like Cincinnati to cover the number.
Wow, you had me until Ohio State's the best team in the country. But I'll leave that for later. I'm with you. I'm taking Cincinnati. We disagree on one front. Dino, if I like them within 4.5, I like them to win straight up. They're 3-1 of the season. They beat UCLA, a Power 5 team, crushed Miami, Ohio, and Marshall. I think that this is a trap game on a Friday night for UCF. I think they get their second loss of the season. I like Cincy to win outright. Dino, before we go to the Big Ten, please tell me that you remember this oldie but goodie from a few years back.
Talk to your kids about an undefeated Iowa before it's too late.
And they're undefeated again!
My son turns 3 tomorrow, and I'm going to have that conversation.
Make sure you tell your son about undefeated number 14 Iowa. They're on the road at number 19 Michigan, coming off an embarrassing loss to Wisconsin. And yet the Wolverines are 4.5-point favorites, and you can give me Iowa. They're undefeated. No, they haven't played a lot of great teams. But this, really, and I look at it, Dino, the line that you and I are going to pick on is 4.5, because that's what we settled on yesterday. It's dropped down to 3.5. That's validation that Iowa's getting a lot of action. Again, I like Iowa, and I think, again, I'm bold enough to take them straight up.
Man, I agree with everything you said here. I like Iowa straight up, too. Iowa's won 5 of the last 6 of this series. I think it goes 6-7 here. Michigan's a fraud. Michigan is. They've been exposed. Iowa doesn't turn the ball over. They've had 1 turnover all year, the second fewest penalties in the entire country. They've got a veteran QB. We know how Kirk Ferentz is going to play. He's not scared to go to the big house. I don't know if anybody is. So you kidding me? Give me Iowa all day here.
Tell your kids about undefeated Iowa before it's too late. All right, let's get to the SEC matchup of the weekend. Number 7, Auburn at number 10, Florida. Plainsmen, 3-point favorites. Which way are you going?
Yeah, matchup of the weekend. Are you serious? You really think it's a matchup of the weekend? I'm going to Auburn. I think Auburn goes, and I think they go down to the swamp, and I think they lay a you-know-what beating on the Florida Gators. I'm not buying Florida preseason. I'm still not buying Florida, and I'm actually starting to buy Auburn a little bit. They're starting to be able to run the ball. They're running it for about 250 yards a game. The freshman QB, Bo Nix, they're starting to open up the playbook for him. And come on, Florida's surviving. They're surviving. They were down double digits to a bad Kentucky team who's 0-3 in the SEC. So give me Auburn to go in there and just roll.
Florida's got a shot of life with Kyle Trask in at quarterback. So I think they've improved since the beginning of that Kentucky game. But I'm with you. They made believers of me again last week. I went against them. I took Mississippi State to cover. That was a mistake. Auburn is for real. We agree on this one. All right, let's head again to the Big Ten. Number 25, Michigan State at number 4, Ohio State. Dino thinks they're the best team in the country, and they're 20.5-point favorites. I'll take them by 3 touchdowns or more. I also believe in Justin Fields, former Georgia quarterback. I also believe that they are one of the nation's best teams, but leapfrogging LSU while the Tigers didn't play, that's not sitting well down in these parts, Dino. I'm taking Ohio State.
All right, well, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. But, yeah, I'm going to disagree. I'm actually going to take Michigan State here. I think Ohio State is the best team in the country currently. But I also think Sparty has the defense. They're only giving up 2 rushing yards on average. They have the offensive line. They've beaten Ohio State 3 out of the last 5 times. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but who can say that they beat Ohio State that many times? Mark D'Antonio is not going to be scared. And they're going to come to play, and I think 3 touchdowns is too much. So give me Sparty to cover. Give me the 20.5.
Yeah, D'Antonio was scared, however, to shake Herm Edwards' hand after the Sun Devils beat him a week ago. But that's another story. All right, speaking of the Pac-12, let's end with Cal at number 13, Oregon. The Ducks are 19-point favorites. Quickly, who you got?
Hate to do it, but I'm going to take Oregon. A lot of points, but since Oregon lost to Auburn, they've been doing business. They've won every game by about 15 points. Their quarterback is legit. Cal's going with their backup quarterback. Nobody wants to go into Austin Stadium up there in Oregon, so give me Oregon to cover that large number.
We completely agree on this one, and that makes it 4 out of 5 times we agree on the college side. Cal has only had 1 loss, you're right, and it is to Herm Edwards in Arizona State. And, yeah, they were number 15 in the country last week. That was last week. Now they've got another obstacle with the backup quarterback, so we're both going to take Oregon and lay a lot of points. All right, to the NFL we go. I will lead us off, Dino, with the Thursday night game, and this might be the class of the NFL weekend. The Rams at the Seahawks. Seattle, 1.5-point favorites. I'm going with the home of the 12th man here. Seattle has proven some things to me. Yeah, they lost a head-scratching game to the Saints where they gave up a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown. Russell Wilson usually starts slow and speeds up. When he starts hot, wow, what level can he get to next? That ground game with Chris Carson, when they don't fumble, one of the best in the NFL. I know the Rams are coming in playing mad, but I'm going to take Seattle at home.
Yeah, this is one of the toughest picks. Honestly, I would tell your listeners to stay away, but that's not what you pay me the money for. So I'll give a pick, and I'm going to disagree. And I think the Rams, I think they are going to come in angry. I think they got to get Gurley going. I think Sean McVay will get Todd Gurley going on the ground. That'll open up things for Jared Goff. He's got so many weapons, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and I love Aaron Donald on the defensive line. So I think they pull a small upset, so I'm going to take the Rams here.
The ugliest game that we'll pick in the NFL, Jacksonville at Carolina. You're welcome for getting to pick this one. Panthers at home, 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm an underdog kick here. So I'm going to take Jacksonville. I'm going to take Jacksonville straight up. They're both starting backup quarterbacks. But I like Gardner and the Stash Minshew for Jacksonville a lot better than I do Carolina's backup. Well, starting quarterback at this point. The Jags defense is really what sold me on this. And the fact that Carolina is 3-9 overall in their last 12, and they've lost 5 straight home games. So I'm going to say that Jacksonville doesn't just cover. They go to Bank of America, and I think they're going to get the outright win.
We see it the same. Jacksonville wins on the road. Fournette was rolling in Denver. He'll keep it going in Charlotte. And I think the way he got after Cam Robinson on the sideline with all the BS that's flying around regarding Jalen Ramsey, maybe, just maybe, Leonard holds them accountable, and they get another road win. All right, Buffalo at Tennessee is next. Titans at home, 2.5-point favorites, and I'm taking them. Right now, my biggest reason, Dino, Josh Allen for the Bills listed as questionable with that concussion. I say get in early because you don't know if maybe questionable turns to doubtful, turns to out. And if it's Matt Barkley, gross. You don't want any part of that if you're rooting for the Buffalo Bills to win you a bet. So I'll take Mariota and Tennessee at home.
Yeah, I'm going to take it, too. I went back and forth on this game, honestly, and I agree with everything you just said. I think Buffalo is legit, but, yeah, if they're going with Matt Barkley as opposed to Josh Allen, Buffalo struggles against the run a little bit. They've got a great defense, but if they've got Derrick Henry, 6'3", 240 pounds coming at them at home at Nissan Stadium, Tennessee's a legit team. So, yeah, I'll take the Titans here too.
How about another game, Dino, of NFC contenders, Green Bay at Dallas? Boys are 3.5-point favorites at home. You're up.
Yeah, I think you're going to disagree with me here. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take the Packers to win. I'm not so sold on where the Packers are. I mean, their wins are against an 0-4 Redskins, 0-4 Dolphins, and a Giants team that didn't have Daniel Dimes Jones.
I think you just described Dallas's schedule, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay.
Dallas.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Dallas has. I'm not buying Dallas. And their stud left tackle, who he is, Tyron Smith, is out. Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. He's never lost at Jerry World. 3-0. He goes nuts there. They put up 35 points a game when he shows up there. So I'm going to take Green Bay, not only to cover, but to win this game outright.
And now for the seventh time today, we're going to agree. A lot of the things that you just said, Dallas, you know that they want to come back home, get on track after scoring 10 in New Orleans. But without Tyron Smith, I'm not sure they can do that. And Green Bay's defense, I think, is even better than the Saints. All right, we're going to end it with Monday Night Football. This is a very interesting line. Cleveland at the 49ers, and the Niners are 3-point favorites. I'll start us off, and I will take Cleveland. Again, the theme of our day so far, if you like them in close quarters with the spread, damn it, just take them to win. And I'm going to take the Browns to get another win, to get back into the conversation of national relevancy in terms of the playoffs. They're starting to figure out on offense. I think the 49ers get their first loss of the season.
All right, we're going to disagree, which makes me feel good. I'm going to go with the Niners here. I took the Browns as a 7-point dog to win straight up last week, so I believe in them. They're a good team. But the Niners are coming off a bye week. They're going to be healthy. They're going to be rested. I still believe in the fact that a team like Cleveland has to go all the way across the country, and it just doesn't work well in the NFL. The Niners have the best offensive line in the league, and I like their quarterback play. I like Jimmy Grapes better than I like Baker Mayfield, so I'm going to have to take the Niners minus that small 3 here.
On the college side, we both like Cincy, Iowa, Auburn, and Oregon. On the pro side, we like Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Green Bay. Dino, it's time to roll the dice and take a chance. Let's see if you stay hot, and let's see if I can join you.
Let's both stay hot, brother.
There you go. He is Cousin Dino, and that was Spreadheads. We got to hit our final break of the 4 o'clock hour. When we return, we'll take your phone calls. Get your picks. You can get in on Spreadheads as well. And we'll do an MLB playoffs update. We are going to take a timeout, and we'll be right back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Back at it. Clint, are we giving away tickets to the ALDS? I'm not sure I've heard.
Yeah, correct. That is correct, man. We're giving away some Astros tickets, man. Just text Take It Back to 68683. And hurry up, because we're giving these away tomorrow morning.
It's almost like I just heard that a few times. So just making sure that we stamp that home. Hey, let me stamp this home as well. You want to test your football knowledge with the guys at Acadiana Sports Station and the gals that work here at Delta Media as well. Make sure to get your picks in for Week 5 at 1037thegame.com. Try and beat the best with the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge. All right, you can get your Cousin Dino one. We've given you all the spreads to work with. I'm interested in what you think about a couple of these. We'll take some calls as well. 706-0111. We both like Cincy to beat UCF. And sometimes this is a bit of a gambling pitfall. When you fall into the trap of, I want it to happen, so I'm going to bet on it happening. And UCF losing to LSU in the Fiesta Bowl and then dropping two, not one but two, before the midway point of this season, wouldn't that just make us all feel a little bit better inside?
I think it would, especially when you bring up the fact UCF losing two right before the midway point of the season. That's something I don't think any of us saw coming, but it would make us feel a little bit better.
Auburn over Florida, and potentially in a big way. Again, the warning there, once you start to assume road wins in the swamp, and especially by some volume of points, you got to watch yourself a little bit. I do think that Dan Mullen, Kyle Trask, and company can keep this one competitive for a while, but I am a huge believer in the Auburn defensive front right now. They're doing more than just enough to get by with their freshman quarterback, as Dino mentioned, Bo Nix. But the defense for Auburn has me believing here. You following suit or are you bucking the trend?
I'm going against the trend. I'm probably going to wind up going with the Florida Gators simply because of the fact I feel like the Swamp has definitely played a lot in their favor the last couple of years. And I feel like sooner or later, the greatness that is Bo Nix and the legend of him is going to wind up coming crashing down sooner rather than later. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's against an SEC opponent like Florida.
Your quick 2 cents on the two best NFC games of the week in the NFL. Rams at Seahawks. That one's going to be tomorrow night. Neither team's going to be thrilled with having to play in this ball game, especially the Rams after giving up 50-plus to famous Jameis and the Bucks. Seahawks favored by 1.5. Dino and I disagree. Where do you stand?
I'm going with the Rams here. I feel like the Rams are going to bounce back in a big way. I mean, me and Jordy have talked about that. It feels like Tampa Bay's always due for at least one of those games. I mean, we look at last year. They put up like a 50-burger on the New Orleans Saints with Fitzmagic, and then kind of the magic wore off really quickly.
And finally, Green Bay at Dallas. We both like Green Bay, and we'll both take them straight up. Cowboys are favored by 3.5. I guess the question here is, did they get completely exposed as frauds by the Saints, or do you believe they could bounce back against the Green Bay defense, frankly, that I think has earned a lot of its stripes so far this year?
I think they might have gotten exposed a little bit, especially along the offensive line, and at the fact that one of their guys late in that ball game came up limping, looked like it might have been his ankle. I think that's going to hurt them a lot in terms of offensive line depth, and that can wind up causing a lot more pressure on Dak Prescott. So I'm leaning with y'all. It's going to be a majority rule here. The Green Bay Packers win it.
I promised that we would go in on the MLB playoffs and get a bit of a wild card game reset. And I want everybody to hear exactly how it sounded when my Nats overtook your Brewers. And I never thought it was going to happen this way. And I mean, almost immediately, the Brew Crew on the road scratched off 3 against Mad Max Scherzer. And it took all the way until Juan Soto came to the dish in the 8th for things to really tilt on their head the other way.
The kick, here it comes. Swing and a line drive. Base hit right field. Taylor scores from third. Stevenson around third. The ball missed in right field. Rounding third. Coming home is Rendon. He will score, but now caught in a rundown is Soto. He will be tagged out by Moustakas, but that's the third out. 3 runs score on the play.
And one of them, former SDM Cougar, LSU Tiger, Andrew Stevenson. Holy hell, that place was loud. And if you think these are going to be a good MLB playoffs, you're wrong. They're going to be a great MLB playoffs. That crowd got me, I mean, enthused on television last night. And just listening to that playback, I mean, you could hardly hear the play-by-play.
Exactly. It was amazing. And, you know, I know our guy Ross Dellinger, he was out there as well enjoying it. I can about imagine how loud it was over there.
Delly deserves that. He got to watch the Penn State-Maryland drubbing over the weekend, so he deserved a competitive and compelling sporting event to attend. That Delly, he's got a hard life. And so now we've got the AL wild card, and it's the right to play the Houston Astros. That one's going to get underway by the Bay in a couple of hours. Sean Manea versus Charlie Morton. You still sticking by your guns? You should have been right last night. I hate to ever admit it, but you should have been right. Are you sticking with the Oakland A's at home?
I'm sticking with the Oakland A's at home, and Ben, it took every ounce of my energy not to text you after like the second inning when it was 3-0. I'm like, something's going to happen.
Took me every ounce of energy not to text you after that play we just listened to when I watched it. I said, nah, there's still like at least an inning left to play. Like, don't reverse jinx an entire city in the nation's capital like that. You just may never live it down. If I did something like that, Donald Trump may tweet at me, and we just couldn't have that. That's not something I had time for on a Tuesday evening. But every 4 o'clock hour, you better believe we carve out time for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make 2 chairs turn.
Top heavy. Verlander, Cole, Greinke, the starting rotation for the ALDS as announced earlier this afternoon by A.J. Hinch it's absolutely top-heavy. The question still that lingers on everyone's mind that follows the Houston Astros, is it going to be complete? I think you only need three. In the modern era, I think you only need three, so I think they're going to be fine. It'd be nice if Wade Miley were back in form. If he were pitching like the guy who was lights out for the Brewers in last year's playoffs, it'd be nice if you had a little more confidence in a green rookie like Jose Urquidy. But I think in the modern game, you only need three, and then you need a deep bullpen. Certainly, they're top-heavy. Will they be thorough through and through? We're going to find out for the Stros. They begin play Friday afternoon, and then game two from Minute Maid Saturday evening. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We got an hour to go. Luke Johnson talking Saints when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. The famous Clint D in tow. Both of us. Inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Big storyline of the day coming from Baton Rouge. Sources confirming a national report by Ed Ashoff of the Mothership that LSU running back Leonard Fournette has left the LSU football team. He has withdrawn and already off the online roster. Is he headed to greener pastures, maybe even an FCS school in Louisiana or in the Deep South? Time will tell. I've had at least one person suggest to me it's at least possible that the younger brother, Leonard Fournette, might just be done with the sport of football. But we know at this point, Clyde Edwards-Helaire tops on the depth chart. At the position, I think this decision by Fournette rooted a lot in the fact that the freshmen are rising. Ty Davis Price, as well as John Emery Jr., will discuss that and all things LSU and Cajuns a little later in the hour. But we want to come out to shoot with a good friend of the program. We got to get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. It's the great Luke Johnson. And Luke, I want you to tell our listeners exactly what you're doing these days, or at least where you're covering the Saints. I think it'll be familiar to them.
Yeah, I'm no longer with the USA Today Network. I'm now with The Advocate again. it's been a pretty wild couple months, but the good thing is I just filed my first story for him, and I didn't even need to get trained on how to use the website. It's all good. I had that stuck in my memory box. So, good to be back with some old friends, and hopefully we'll be doing some really good work. I'm excited.
And it's great to have you back here on the program. Again, kids in college enter the transfer portal. When you're talented like Luke, you're a free agent, and they come and find you. So glad that you landed where you did, brother. All right, Luke, you filed a report, and I saw it. How about an injury update for our listeners, especially with wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith and defensive lineman Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah, so today was one of those injury reports where they estimate what a guy's participation level would be because they didn't do a real practice today. We went out there and we saw him. Nobody's wearing helmets or pads. And the scout teams all got those weird, like, multicolored helmet covers just over their hair. We're like, okay, they're doing a walkthrough. Not a full practice today, and a lot of times it's like that after you win on a Sunday or Monday in prime time. They kind of give you some extra time to recover. But their estimation is that Trey Hendrickson would not have practiced today with a neck injury. Obviously he left the game against Dallas in the second quarter with that injury and didn't return, so that's not really unexpected. And then Tre'Quan Smith was listed as a limited participant today. He hasn't practiced since he left the Rams game in the second quarter, or the fourth quarter with an ankle injury. So that's good news. He'll probably be, I imagine, if
continues on that track, I'd imagine he'd be ready to play this week. And Trey Hendrickson, we'll keep a close eye on.
Luke, how should Houdat Nation expect this offense to continue to evolve with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm? What types of things will continue to maybe change to tailor to his style of football?
Well, shoot, I think the first thing would be you're playing at home, and you better be cleaning up some of these penalties. I think it's really hard to get him in a rhythm and to get him doing the things that he's best at when you're constantly putting yourself behind the sticks and taking big plays off the board because of holding or pre-snap penalties or whatever it might be. It's been really, really difficult on Teddy to really shine when, you know, they had some 13 offensive penalties the last couple of games. That's just entirely too many. And, you know, it's on Teddy, too. Some of the pre-snap stuff specifically is, guys just getting used to a new quarterback. And I think, Teddy himself has got to play a little bit better. So they're not relying on the defense to hold the team, the other team to 10 points or to come up with a big stop at the end of the game. I think Teddy's got to be better. But in order for Teddy to get better, I think the supporting cast around him got to do a better job protecting him and got to do a better job of avoiding those mental mistakes that put you in a compromised situation.
Talking Saints football with Luke Johnson, a friend of just about every sports fan in the Acadiana area. And great to have him on 103.7 The Game. Luke, I want to get your opinion while we have you here. It's a storyline we'll talk about for the next month and a half. But when do you think Drew Brees is most likely to return? And does the fact that they're winning games in his absence change that timeline at all?
Yeah, I absolutely think it does. I think the fact that they're 3-1 right now against the schedule they just played, having played basically three of those games without Drew Brees, is crazy. Yeah, they could very well be 1-3 right now. I don't think anybody would have been surprised if they would have been 1-3 right now. The fact that they aren't, I think that eliminates some of the pressure on Drew to come back before he's ready. It eliminates some pressure on the rest of the team to go out there and play a perfect game because they know they're good enough, this team, to beat really good teams. With the way things have been going, you know, granted they could lose their next three games and that changes this entire conversation. But with the way things have been going, I'd have a really hard time to imagine it just any different than the initial estimate, which would put him back in week 10. And really, the thing that makes me think that the most is week 9 is a bye. You'd have to get back 2 weeks before the kind of earliest, most optimistic estimate to make it back in time for that week 8 game. I would fully expect week 10, I believe it's against Atlanta, to be the first time we see Drew back in the uniform.
Luke, without question, a number of defensive backs played their best game of the season against Dallas on Sunday night. Which of those performances for you are indicative of what's to come? I guess which ones are you buying into? And then which players maybe do you need to see more from to where you could consistently buy into them playing like that?
So I think Von Bell for the last season and a half has really played tremendous football. And I think people are just kind of really, if they weren't turned on to it by the end of last year, they're really starting to realize he's just a very good, strong safety. And I think he's, in coverage, improved even from where he was at the end of last year. He was always a really good run defender. It's why, that 17 season, they often just put him down by the box, let him get after the passer, let him make plays in the running game. Now I think having kind of learned under Kurt Coleman last year, it's funny. I've talked to Saints players, and they were like, the funny thing is, the Saints signed Kurt Coleman last year, and then Kurt Coleman basically took his own job by teaching Von Bell how to play football. And it's true. Von Bell, since playing with Kurt, has really turned into a tremendous NFL safety. So I think that's a sign of things to come.
Marshawn Lattimore thing played a huge game against Amari Cooper, and that's kind of the Marshawn Lattimore we were expecting to see all season. It's not the one we saw in the first three games. So I think this week will be yet another huge test for him. It's like every week they're going to consistently line him up against an all-pro caliber wide receiver. So I want to see him do the same sort of thing this week against Mike Evans. He's done it before. He's also gotten toasted by Mike Evans. So that'll be kind of really a thing to watch for, in my opinion, to see which Marshawn Lattimore we can expect this year.
One more for our man Luke Johnson with the New Orleans Advocate and Times-Picayune. Can Jameis Winston and the Bucs offense replicate what they've done the last 2 weeks, in particular last Sunday over on the West Coast?
I think they absolutely can. But the question is, can they do it consistently? I was really high on this Bucs offense coming into the year just because of Bruce Arians' history with being the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer. That's what everybody says about him. And I think he brought in a really smart coach in Byron Leftwich to be their OC. And I think the expectation was that they're finally going to take that tremendous talent that Jameis Winston has and turn it into a real star NFL quarterback. But the problem has been consistency. He's been either really good or really bad. So, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes out there and throws for 400 yards, three touchdowns, and the Saints are involved in a shootout. But it also wouldn't surprise me if they knock him in the mouth a couple times with their pass rush early and force him into making some of these bad mistakes that he's shown time in, time out throughout his career. That's who he is as a player. So, I think the Saints can force him to be the Jameis Winston of the last couple of years as opposed to Jameis Winston's last week, as long as they're bringing pressure on him.
Luke, have you washed away last night's Brewers game with enough alcohol yet?
I somehow managed to get through that game with no bourbon in my system, and I don't know how. That probably made it hurt a lot worse at the end. God, that was brutal, and I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. As soon as Josh Hader hits the guy in the hand, I'm like, here we go. This is going to unravel right here, and it's going to end in the top of the ninth instead of the bottom of the ninth. And, the worst fears were confirmed. So it's all right, though. I don't think that team really was going to make a deep run in the playoffs without its best player. I think Washington has a better overall team and should play a fun series against the Dodgers. I'm all for just good baseball being played. So as painful as it was to watch, I will continue to watch postseason baseball.
That is a very mature take. Now, you could text me how you really feel on the other side of this interview. Luke.
Well, your listeners would not have been able to be in my living room last night with all the stuff I was saying in there. So.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Hey, congrats on the new gig. I know it's the old gig, but it's a darn good one, and it's great to be reading you again over at the New Orleans Advocate.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk soon.
That's Luke Johnson. You don't know what he really thought last night, but he gave you a really polished take about 20 hours later because he's a pro. Cajuns fans who followed his coverage when he was in the area, I think you would agree. All right, we're coming back in. I want to reset a little bit from Leonard Fournette, that storyline, and let you hear from Ed Ogeron today on the SEC teleconference. We're going to take a timeout, but we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Quarterback or covered downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Love that play in there. Little Dr. John on a hump day. We got Five Guys Stories and Lies coming up from 6 to 8. Between now and then, you got two guys, me and Clint. But we could take your phone call, 706-0111. React to anything you've heard so far. News of the day in South Louisiana, Leonard Fournette has withdrawn from school at LSU. Will he transfer? Is he done playing the pigskin? Time will tell there, but it makes a fairly shallow room for Tommy Robinson, a little bit more shallow. The running backs at LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, afterward, and we'll find out. But I think the two freshmen they've got next, Ty Davis-Price and John Emery Jr., you can call us up. Discuss the picks that Cousin Dino and I made. The MLB playoffs technically began last night. It ain't the mild card, it's the wild card. And the Brew Crew coughed one up to the Nats, much to the chagrin of our last guest, Luke Johnson, and we appreciate the Saints update again. The number to play is 706-0111. One thing we haven't touched much on, outside of Leonard Fournette and the LSU RBs, is the LSU Tigers. Utah State coming to town, and the most asked question so far this season, Clint, it still seems surreal. I know we're 2 days in October. We've been watching LSU football for 5 weeks now. They've played 4 games in that stretch, and still everybody wants to know, okay, is the offense moving too fast? What's it doing to the defense? Here, Coach O addresses how you achieve a balance.
Yeah, we're gonna have to make an adjustment. There's going to be some times. The biggest thing we got to do is make the adjustment on defense first. As far as, you know, as an example, if we do score very fast, we're going to have to substitute. We have to see the guys that have a lot of wear and tear on them. We have to give them a break that series, and hopefully we can do it that way. If we need a break, we're going to have to run the football and control the clock. But that's not what we want to do right now.
Ed Ogeron, talking earlier today as part of the SEC teleconference. One thing I can tell you, this isn't exactly great news, although it's probably to be expected when it comes to being able to sub in and out quality defensive players. Earlier this afternoon, Michael Divinity, Rashard Lawrence, as well as Glenn Logan, none of the front seven players I just mentioned, practice. For that matter, Charles Turner, Bedora Traore, among the offensive players who were absent during media availability today as well. All right, let's take a trip now out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Chad is with us and wants to talk LSU. How are you, brother?
Doing good. Ben, man, my biggest thing, I think these guys that are sitting out would, if it was Auburn or Florida this week, could play. But my biggest thing is their conditioning, man. How their conditioning be when they come back. Also, Ben, I'm 12 for 15 against the spread this year.
Boom.
I think Curry is gone. As well after this season or even before. I think he's the next running back to go. I don't know why you're not utilizing him. He's been in the system. I would think he knows the plays, whatnot, and I think he's getting a raw deal. I'm the biggest LSU fan in the world, as you know, and I think he will be the next to go. And then my lock of the week, Auburn and Iowa will destroy Michigan, brother.
There it is, Chad. He's right there with me and Cousin Dino. Either that means you got to sprint in the opposite direction or you got to just grab that bull by the horns and be ready to ride Saturday, late morning, and early afternoon. Yeah, we had spreadheads with Cousin Dino earlier. We both love Iowa to not only cover 4.5 against Michigan on the road, but just a straight-up win in the Big House. And Dino and I both like Auburn to cover 3 points. They are 3-point favorites in the Swamp. And Chad is in lockstep. So we're getting the picks in, and we're still talking some LSU running backs. Chad thinks that baby beast mode, Chris Curry, is next. We'll see. At this point of the season, if you're transferring, you have to accept that you're most likely to either go the JUCO and then back up route or maybe the straight down to FCS level route. If Chris Curry from the state of Florida believes he is FBS caliber, I don't know if it makes sense to leave right now. Although, we watched it happen with, for example, Kelly Bryant at Clemson. Left after it was obvious Trevor Lawrence was about to be the god at Clemson, and, well, now he's the starting quarterback at Missouri. So what do I know? Maybe with the new relaxed transfer rules, it's the exact time for Chris Curry to find greener pastures. I hope Chad is wrong about that. And I'm betting Chad does, too, because the kid can play. We'll find out, though, if there's enough room in the LSU backfield. He had two of the top six backs in the country that signed last year in Davis Price and Emory, and we'll see what LSU puts on the board in 2020. All right, we got a few more clips from Coach O, but as always, you want to join and follow up what Chad had to say, maybe give us your locks of the week. Call us at 706-0111. I think I just went full Jimmy Ott. Let me shake my head and get those cobwebs out a little bit. Lock it a week, lock it a week, lock it a week. It's a Baton Rouge thing. Maybe you wouldn't understand. All right, we'll get now to the rest from Coach Ed Ogeron earlier today at the SEC teleconference. And the team understands they need to tackle better. In fact, the message has been drilled home vehemently.
Yeah, well, they got the message Monday. They definitely got the message yesterday. I look at our tackling circuit. There was 126 reps of tackling. So I think our guys got the message, but you know, it more or less, like I said before, it's not the actual tackle. Obviously, it has a lot to do with it, but it's the approach, the footwork, and the angle, and we've really been working hard on that. So I think you'll see some improvement. Is it going to happen overnight? No, but hopefully there's market improvement this week.
Clint, how much would you pay for an infomercial? As long or as short as you want it to be, an infomercial with Ed Ogeron talking about the mental attitude and philosophy behind tackling, not the actual, pardon the pun, blocking and tackling of tackling, the philosophy of what it is to tackle somebody.
So you're saying something along the lines of like a Tom Emanski video with Ed Ogeron narrating?
No, because Tom Emanski is straight up the blocking and tackling of how to throw a baseball into a garbage can from about 200 feet away.
So this would be like an audiobook where it's basically him teaching you the secret to unlocking your blocking and tackling skills or something like
now
that?
Now you've nailed it.
Okay.
How much would you pay?
$29.95. Yeah. Three easy payments.
Yeah. Shipping and handling is going to be tacked onto that. So we appreciate that from Ed. Let's get one more. After a bye week, it is awfully nice. Ogeron tells you for LSU to get back into a schedule and back into the program.
Yeah, it was really good to get back into a routine. After a much-needed open date, our guys were fresh, ready to go. We thought we had an excellent competition Tuesday, yesterday. You can see a spring in the guys' step. We're looking forward to play. We got to get our clocks advanced. It's going to be an early morning game at 11 o'clock. But I know they'll be ready to go.
I can't get that thought out of my head, Clint. I know we're heading toward a break, but I was, I wouldn't say forced. I was required in high school to read a book, pretty good one as well, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And all I can think about now after that soundbite prior to that one, Zen and the Art of Cajun Tackling, right? Or Zen and the Art of Ogeron tackling, right? It's just like it's a philosophy. It's a way of life. And LSU will be tested because if I'm Jordan Love in Utah State, I am throwing quick passes, screens all game long. You got to come find me in open field. You got to bring me down in open field. Let us all find out together early Saturday if this defense, spearheaded by Grant Delpit, is ready to turn the tackling quarter. Get your Zen on, bros. All right, we're going to get our throwing shade on. It's what we do. At about the 5:30 juncture every single day, Jeremy Pruitt. Boy, oh boy, is that culture being planted on Rocky Top. That plus a little from Shaq Diesel and Damian Lillard. It's too good to resist. And then Clint and I will put a bow on the show talking the Saints Ring of Honor. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. We're going to take a timeout and then back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Right back in, and down the stretch we come on a hump day. We got a half hour to go and still having some fun. Conversations with Cousin Dino, Luke Johnson in the rear view. If you missed either or both interviews, make sure that you check them out. They are permanently docked for you at 1037thegame.com. Just peep the on-demand tab. Something we love doing each and every day. At about this time, I get to issue a daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business, like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust management, top down, starting with Mark, to sit down with you, create a vision, and then fulfill it. And collectively, I can promise you this. The team at Patio Center, they can up your patio game. But only if you take a trip to the website and start dreaming. At patiocenter.com, that dream becomes a reality. Because they are the kings of customization. And it surely never is. One size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
My man, CD, there are bad looks, and then there's this. A story that was released from the Knoxville News earlier today. Yeah, Dan Wolkin and a number of other national bigwigs certainly picked up on it. In the aftermath of the arrest of Tennessee Vols player Jeremy Banks, Listen to this excerpt from a story from the Knoxville News. And this is a transcript between head coach Jeremy Pruitt, formerly at Georgia and Alabama and Florida State. Here is a transcript, CD, between Jeremy Pruitt and the Knoxville Police Department. Pruitt told the officer he thought Banks had paid the ticket. And then he asked the officer, "Why do you have to arrest him? Just because he has a warrant?" The officer explained he was legally obligated to arrest Banks because of the warrant. And the response from Pruitt, oh, it deserves a lot more than shade, although it probably shouldn't surprise us. Quote, "This is the silliest bleep I've ever seen in my life. I've got it. I understand. I've worked at four places, and I ain't ever heard no crap like this except for here. Go ahead. Do your civic duty, man." End quote. Clint, comma, wow.
Yeah.
Exclamation point. "I've worked at four places." In other words, in Athens. Oh, by the way, there are still plenty of player arrests in Athens. In Tuscaloosa. In Tallahassee. These things are understood, and I shouldn't have to explain it to you, Mr. Knoxville police officer. It's understood. It needs no explanation. Sweep this silly bleep under the rug. Whoa. The fact that this was recorded, I'm sure, is standard operating procedure. The fact that the good folks over at the Knoxville News had the good sense to ask for it in a Freedom of Information Act, that's just good reporting. Because now we get to see this transcript. Clint, again, I suggested it earlier. None of us should probably be surprised by this type of behavior. But when it gets aired out and this dirty laundry is out there, that's a bad look. And when you're trying to intimidate or kind of bully or passive-aggressively just be kind of an ass, frankly, to your local police department, boy, that's a bad, bad look. And that last statement, I think, is going to get a lot of run in the coming days and weeks. It's more than just losing football these days at Tennessee. Go do your civic duty, man. And the fact that he clearly kind of said it with a bit of a menacing tone, brother, that's not good.
It is not good at all. Definitely the worst case scenario for Jeremy Pruitt right now, who's already on the hot seat. And I think it's continuing to get hotter by the nanosecond.
But you've got more. It's a twofer today as we throw shade. Jeremy Pruitt, you tried to throw yours, and I think it just kind of ricocheted and boomerang right back at you. How about a former NBA great and a former LSU Tiger going in on a guy that deserves to be considered one of the top guards in the association today, Shaq Diesel and Dame Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. Please, my friend, explain.
All right, so basically what happened was you had recently, this all kind of started whenever Joe Budden had, I believe, Dame Lillard on his podcast, and Dame Lillard basically said that he's the best rapper to play basketball. And you know, sometimes I kind of have to agree with him with some of his tracks that he's come out with in recent years.
Hold on, hold on. You have listened to Damian Lillard rapping?
Like, portions of it.
Okay. You're further in the game than I am right
thank
now.
Thank you, Alan Michael.
I don't know that you should thank him for that. Anyway, I cut you off.
All right, anyways. So what I'm saying is, eventually, Damian Lillard decided to do a little bit of a diss track towards Shaq. And here's just one little snippet. Obviously, I can't play the whole thing. There's a lot of not safe for work. This is the cleanest part of the song. And I absolutely love the rhymes in this one.
Shoot any work like your freak throws. No, you see my pockets deep, so you flexing ain't really your thing, bro. We both could be working at Kinko's. And Kobe won you them rings, though. Oh,
Kobe won you them rings, though. Tell me that's not a fantastic
crushed line. Crushed him for free throws. Kobe won you them rings, though.
We could be both working. And he wound up later on referencing the Icy Hot ads, calling him a snitch on TNT.
All I can think of when it comes to Shaq and rap, no, it's not Shaq Fu or any of that stuff. But it's when Shaq took the stage, going full out Jim Rome here. Hey, Kobe,
how's my bleep taste?
How's my bleep taste? That's what's coming to mind here.
Yeah.
Do you have some Shaq Diesel rebuttal?
Yeah, Shaq actually had a rebuttal that came out a couple days ago. Mind you, the audio quality is not quite as clean, but sometimes it's just how Shaq rolls. But here's a quick little snippet.
What you talking about? Legendary, I'm a hip-hop scholar. I'm trying to get a billion, give the fuck about a dollar.
I think he's going over exhibits. What's the run on a Dre 2001 track?
Yeah, what's the difference between me and you?
Sure. Man, that's a quality track. I forgot I was doing a sports talk show for a minute. I kind of wanted to go bang something out and lift some weights or something. That was outstanding.
I'm going to get that before you hit the break.
Yeah, we should probably go ahead and end this segment before I start to rap. Nobody wants that.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
That was awesome. Seriously, the juices are still kind of flowing. That's the kind of track that makes you want to go find, like, Canseco, McGuire,
yeah,
ingest a little Andro and lift some weights just for a little while to see what happens, just how swole that you can get. So always fun throwing shade. We like to think today was no exception. All right, take no exception. We got great Sports Talk Radio each and every day. On Wednesdays, it's yours truly, Ben and Clint. From 4 to 6. From 6 to 8, it's Five Guys Stories and Lies. They're coming at you sooner than later. But on the other side, Clint and I want to discuss the newest member of the Saints, Ring of Honor, and then who could come after him. Who Dat Nation, I really, really think you're going to enjoy this. So we'll close out the show next. We're going to take a timeout, and we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Back in still. Excited to do our thing and bring you home on a hump day. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we'll talk Saints to finish the show today. Maybe not like you would expect. We're not going in on Saints Bucks. We've done some of that already in our two-hour program today. I want to discuss something that's already up on the website, 1037thegame.com, and it's a poignant reminder that this Sunday, inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the late Will Smith, former defensive end for New Orleans, killed tragically, as we all remember, in 2016. Smith will be inducted into the team's Ring of Honor, and I want to discuss briefly, he'll be the sixth player, by the way, to notch that honor, or at least the sixth member, because one of them wasn't a player at all. I want to discuss the other five, and then Clint, let's spin it forward somewhat into what we think about the current crop of Saints and who might just etch out their own place on the franchise's Ring of Honor. So again, Will Smith going in this Sunday. Morton Anderson, Ricky Jackson, Archie Manning, Willie Rofe, four players that are already in the Ring of Honor, and not long after the passing of longtime owner and pioneer of the franchise, Tom Benson. Benson became the fifth member to join the Ring of Honor, and Smith, as I mentioned, is sixth coming this Sunday. I guess your thoughts on who comes next. Again, I really don't know how many years you have to wait, right? Is this like the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Is this like when you pass away, we got to figure out if you're ready to be canonized in the Catholic faith and made a saint, all these things? I do not know the statute of limitations and the waiting period, so to speak. But I think we can all agree, Breeze will be in this thing. They might even make that number nine bigger and badder than all the other numbers and names that are in there.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be in there without a doubt, simply because of the fact of everything that he's done, not just for the Saints, but just in the community in general since being part of the Saints franchise. And undoubtedly, he's going to have his fingerprints over that franchise for quite some time.
I'm gonna throw something out at you, brother.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I know we're going to spit on the other players, but there might be another name that goes up in there that's involved with the team right now, and she is somebody you might not necessarily think of. But that's because sometimes we're prisoners of the moment.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit if Gail Benson one day in that Ring of Honor. Because let me throw this scenario out at you. After the passing of Tom Benson, after everything that happened, you know, within the last 6 or 7 years with Bounty Gate,
yep,
and some of the ill will, certainly, following the Saints-Rams NFC title game, if Gail Benson's able to keep the franchise here, succeeding, while, oh, by the way, balancing the team across the street in the New Orleans Pelicans, and they go out and win the franchise's second Super Bowl, I could see a scenario for sure where Tom Benson and Gail Benson's name maybe are somehow interlocked together on that Ring of Honor.
I think it's also the fact that she's handled everything so well, the transitional period. Because you think about it, like, there's not too many, like, contingency plans where you see the longtime owner pass away and then Gail Benson takes over, and you see everything kind of stay status quo.
And
that's
amid,
the big thing.
And amid so many of the other family members, let's just tell it like it is.
It's like soap opera.
Yeah, man. And you told it better than I was going to. All right? And so I think if you weigh all the factors, I could see Breeze as obviously the no-doubter. I could see Gail Benson among this crowd. I think quickly afterward, we're going to get to guys that are now in their third and fourth years with the franchise. We're going to talk about Alvin Kamara, and we're going to look at Michael Thomas. Do you have a thought at this point as to which one, if you project it, is more of a lock than the other, or do you think they both will be?
I think they both will be. It just depends on how long these two guys stay. Because, of course, I mean, we think about it. The shelf life of a wide receiver or a running back in today's NFL is a lot shorter than, obviously, what we've seen with Drew Brees, or even we're bringing up Will Smith. Will Smith played for the franchise from 2003 to 2014. That's one hell of a shelf life. So I can say right here, right now, I think both of them get in. It'll be way down the line. But I think we're kind of forgetting one guy in particular.
Oh, I'm not forgetting Cam Jordan. Is that is that the tree you're barking up?
That wasn't the tree I was barking up. I was going to more reference the guy who helped orchestrate everything that's been happening over the last decade plus.
No, I don't know about Mickey Loomis.
Sean Payton.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, bought me over the head with that one, why don't you? I was so excited to give you the Lee Corso pencil, not so fast, my friend, and remind you, I was going to tell you, I was literally setting you up for this, you dirty you-know-what. I was setting you up to say before either of the offensive skill players that right now are making us all go gaga, it'll be Cam Jordan.
I agree with you.
But no question. And maybe I should just start interlocking Breeze and Peyton within my thoughts, because they'll all go into the Louisiana State Hall of Fame, the Saints Ring of Honor, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, quite probably.
Like whatever Hall of Fame you can fit them in.
Yeah, and they'll all go in maybe at around the same time, depending on when they hang up the cleats and the whistle. So, okay, yes. Let's start this over. Breeze and Peyton, check.
Yep.
I think we both believe Gail Benson more than likely. Afterward, I would say Cam Jordan. And then in my opinion, I would go first Michael Thomas, then Alvin Kamara. And you kind of alluded to it. Running backs, more injury prone.
Yep.
The shelf life is shorter. And you hate to say it, but let's just be honest with one another. They depreciate with age. Yep. And so they get traded. Do you think the folks in Philly ever thought that Shady McCoy wouldn't be an Eagle, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I could play this game for a long time.
I mean,
do you think the folks in Minnesota ever thought that Adrian Peterson wouldn't be a Viking? But eventually, he's not worth the big bucks. Eventually, they move on because he ties up so much money in a position where you don't need just one guy. You need like three. And so I think that as dynamic as Kamara is, the chances are better that Michael Thomas gets in long term.
Exactly, and you're bringing that up perfectly, how you were talking about Shady McCoy. I mean, you thought maybe that you never thought you'd see Darren Sproles not be a New Orleans Saint. A lot of different guys, especially in the early 2010s that were impact players, eventually they just fell to the wayside.
Some guy named Reggie Bush might be another example.
Yeah, yes,
but
I
that's
would
my
agree.
Point. They drafted that cat top three overall.
Exactly.
Hey, that's my franchise back. He'll play for me for the next 12 years.
Nope.
Or he won't. And so, to me, it's a very intriguing conversation. I'm not ready to entertain Teron Armstead. I'm not ready to entertain Ryan Ramczyk or Marshawn Lattimore, guys that just really haven't done it, frankly, for long enough yet. And I thought you were going to ask me or try to bait me into Mickey Loomis. And I also not willing to go there because I feel like the shadow puppet behind the scenes, and Jeff Ireland has been maybe more important recently. That's just me, though.
Exactly. And it's just to me, like, I was just more going towards Sean Payton because I feel like that one is just somebody who you can't not have in that Ring of Honor.
Okay, look, I'm not going Chubbs Peterson with you, all right? You were right. I was wrong. I was not going to forget him. I just omitted him, but you're right about that. So Payton, Breeze, no question. Gail Benson, I think we both kind of believe so. Cam Jordan, I think we both believe so. And all of this to me underscores one very important thing, Clint. Never forget that we are still in the midst of the Saints' golden era. Seriously. I understand that the lone championship came 10 seasons ago. The Saints have been knocking on the door of being the best team in football for the last two seasons, though. And we understand the Minnesota Miracle, highway robbery on the Big Easy last year. To me, if they cap this off with another championship, you have to celebrate the most celebrated period in your franchise's history by putting as many people as you can from that era in the Ring of Honor. So again, all of this relates back to the fact that Will Smith, the late Will Smith, is going to be going in this Sunday. It's going to be a huge moment for his family. He'll be the sixth player slash member of the franchise when you include Tom Benson in the Ring of Honor. Clint and I just shared our takes on who comes next. I'll tell you who follows us and who's next on Acadiana Sports Station. It's Don Allen and the gang. Five Guys Stories and Lies. Do not forget, tomorrow we'll be back at it. I'll be out at the Tap Room River Ranch. Clint will be sitting right here by his lonesome, but we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll sit down with Blaine Viator to talk high school football. Gordy Rush will join the program, and I've got one other special guest in the works right now. So come out and check us out if you never have at the Tap Room River Ranch tomorrow, beginning at 4. But now it's Five Guys, Stories, and Their Lies, and it's all coming at you on 103.7 The Game.